Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
It sounds so easy, doesn't it? It sounds so easy, right? Like you listen to this song, don't worry, be happy. It sounds easy, that is, until you've tried it, right? It sounds easy until something comes your way that is bigger than anything that you've faced before, or until something comes your way where you're thinking to yourself, wow, you know what? I've been through this before and I failed miserably. It threw me on my face. I hated the way that it went. How are you supposed to be happy and not worry? How are you supposed to get past these things? I know for myself, for my family, it's been an interesting last, I don't know, whenever the AGM was, what is that, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, something like that. Ever since the AGM, my family has just had thing after thing after thing seeming to come up and punching us in the face, it's felt like sometimes, you know. And I honestly, I can't go into a lot of the things that we've been dealing with. But we've been going through a lot of different stuff. And as we've gone through some of this stuff, you know, I've been sitting there and I'll be looking at the sheet of paper before me, or I'll be thinking about the future, and I'll just go, how am I supposed to get through this? How is this supposed to work? How am I supposed to be able to keep on going through all of this? And I remember I would be sitting there and I'd be sitting at my desk and I'm supposed to be writing a message and I would just be sitting there like playing in my head what could happen as a result of the things that were going on in my life. And I wouldn't be able to focus. You know, I'd be taking a shower, which normally is this nice relaxing time for me, and my brain would just be running through like scenarios that could play out if things didn't go my way in the situation, or the, you know, the worst case scenario going along. You'd be sitting there trying to have a conversation, and all of a sudden it's like you'd feel your attention just kind of get pulled away a little bit because there's something on your brain. Have you ever been there where you can't stop thinking about what could happen or what is going on? I mean, worry kind of messes up our lives a little bit, doesn't it? It twists you up inside, and I recognize that some people in our church, you're dealing with worry, or maybe you deal with worry a lot, like all the time. Maybe you're online, and you deal with worry all the time. And then, you know, me speaking to mostly church people here today, have you ever had this experience where that wonderful church person comes up to you when you're dealing with a lot of stuff, and they're like, don't worry about it. You're not supposed to worry. Don't worry. Christians don't need to worry. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? You know, they come up to you, they're like, well, you know, Jesus said in Luke 12, 22 to 23, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And meanwhile, you're just sitting there, you're like, but I kind of do care about what happens to my body. I kind of care about what happens with me. And you know what? And what I found happens when people do this sometimes is I went from worrying about my situation to worrying about the fact that I'm not actually supposed to be worrying about the situation that I am also currently worrying about. Now, for some of us, some of this worry, this anxiety, it may come about because of chemical imbalances in the brain. Genetic things, you know, and I want to be very clear today as I speak to you about worry, that there are medical causes for much of our anxiety, some of our worries that we need to explore. Okay, I fully believe that God created a world where people could be gifted in seeking out the scientific and seeking out the medical, in becoming people that understand how the brain works and helping us with some of these factors. And so if you have a medical condition that is causing you worry, that is causing you anxiety, listen, you can still apply the things that we're talking about today, and you may even find that God heals you from some of these medical conditions as you do what we talk about today. But I also want you to understand that what I'm not giving you is an excuse to say, well, you know what, I didn't like that doctor anyway, or hey, I can save a little bit of money, so I'm going to stop going to the doctor, whatever it may be. You know, if you need to go to the doctor, if you need the medication, if you need to see the counselor, please do. Please do, because they're part of God's plan. They're part of the way that God created this world, is allowing others to have expertise to help us. Luke, who wrote a book in the Bible, was a physician. All right, so it's okay to go and see a doctor. But for others of us, situations in our lives are the things that bring us the worry, or the things that bring us the anxiety. Maybe you lost your job, or maybe you're hearing rumblings that your work's going to change, or maybe you know you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay your mortgage or your rent. You're looking for a new place. Maybe you've got family that's going through a tough time, or you're going through a tough time. Whatever it is, there's all these situations that can begin to come upon us, and we feel like I can't handle this. This is beyond me. And then you come to church and a pastor like me tells you, just trust God. Right? You're worried. It's just trust God. And then we'll say, you know, Jesus said it this way. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And I'll tell you today that when you get to a certain place in life, these words are so helpful. They build you up, right? They're encouragement to your soul. But for others of us, we look at them and we say, how does that help me? That's great. God takes care of flowers and little birdies, but have you seen my situation? Right? How does it help me? What am I supposed to do with this? Today, if you want to follow along or take notes or anything like that, you can go on your mobile device to ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile. That's also a great place to find out what's coming up next at our church, or to sign up for various things like community groups that we have coming up. And so I hope that you'll take the opportunity to examine and explore ascc.life, bookmark it, all that. While you're getting situated there in your note-taking devices or pulling out your notebooks and pens, I just want to invite you to pray with me briefly this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that despite the platitudes that we often are given or give others when they're going through these difficult circumstances, that you truly do care about us. And Lord, today as we open the Bible, as we just begin to explore a little bit of what it is to not worry, to look to you, Lord God, will you just encourage us? Will you open our hearts and minds to receive, Lord, today? And I just ask that each one of us, wherever we're at in life, that you will just begin to plant something in us and to encourage us. Take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're like me, you really want to trust Jesus. Right? If you're like me, you want to know absolutely that he cares about you so much, that he would do anything for you. You want to know that Jesus could shoulder the burdens of what you're going through. You want to know those things. But at the same time, everything that you're going through, it is so present. It is so scary. It is so big and in your face and looming large that it seems impossible not to worry about it, right? It's the only thing that you can see. You're right up against it. You're right up against the wall, and you're just like, I can't get through it. It's bigger than I am. It's bigger than anything else. There's nothing that could possibly help me get through this. Even if you know in theory that God has you in his hands, that he's helping you through it, in your mind, you're looking at the situation and you're saying, nuh-uh. There's no way. There's no way. And so really what we end up with is we end up seeing these, just these, our worries, they're huge, right? And so we take our situation and we're worrying about it. We're freaking out about it. It's just, it's crazy. We're not sure what to do. But then, you know, we're reading our Bible and we're like, oh, I'm not supposed to worry. I'm supposed to cast my cares on Jesus. So, okay, I want to do that. I'm going to cast my cares on Jesus. And so what we do is we take the situation. We say, okay, Jesus, there you go. It's yours now. You didn't do anything with it, Jesus. Now I got to worry about it again. It's been 30 seconds and there hasn't been a miracle. And it came back and now I'm not sure what to do. Have you been there, right? Like, you give it to God and then, nope, he didn't deal with it. And so back in the worry box it goes. You're just like, I can deal with it better by worrying about it than I can giving it to you, Jesus. And maybe, you know, you decide to give it a second chance and you drop it in there again. And again, you're looking at your watch and you're just like, nope, there's that feeling again. And back in the worry box it goes, right? Have you been there? Yeah, there's one person that's been there. I know that more of us have been there too, just nobody wants to admit it. That's all right. It's all right. And so we worry and we worry and we worry. And you're like, yeah, Pastor Stephen, that's exactly it. Right? You're preaching this message, worry not. I read my Bible. It says, do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything. But Pastor Stephen, I've given it a try. And it doesn't work. Right? But you know, there's a reason it doesn't work. And the reason is because, well, your worries are actually too big. And your Jesus is too small. And see, if we begin to recognize that Jesus is actually bigger than our worries, it's not just about giving him a situation and hoping that he can handle our big, big worries. But what it actually becomes is we say, Jesus, here's my whole worries, the whole of my anxieties. And it's all yours. Because if your Jesus is bigger than your worries, then he can envelope them, and he can take them, and he can deal with them. When your worries are looming large, focus on the fact that Jesus is bigger than your worries. When your worries are looming large, focus on the fact, rejoice in the Lord always. There we go. Focus on the fact that Jesus is bigger than your worries. Now, there may be some people that are here watching online or listening online later, and you know, you're curious about this whole Jesus thing, or you're exploring what it would be like to follow Jesus, and you're going, I have a lot of worries in my life, but I don't know that I'm at the place yet that I can believe that Jesus is bigger. And listen, we're all on a journey here. We're all growing towards Jesus. And I hope that you're growing towards Jesus wherever you're at in your faith, wherever you're at in your life. But I want you to know that Jesus truly does care about you, and that he's extending his hand to you saying, listen, I died for you. I rose again for you. I am who I say that I am, and I am bigger than whatever your situation is. I am the God that created everything, and I am the God that changes everything when you invite me into your life and your situation. And so I encourage you here today that as you draw near to Jesus, and as you begin to realize that Jesus, in fact, looms large in your life, then you will begin to have the ability to take those worries and hand them off to one who can think about it so much more than you can, and who can actually do something about it when you cannot. Now, of course, when I talk about Jesus being bigger than your worries and all of this stuff, giving it to Jesus, it's a great illustration, right? When I was practicing this earlier, my son Joshua, he was taking in the sermon before the sermon, you know, and he saw me do that, and his jaw dropped, and he was like, "Oh, that's awesome!" And I hope that sticks with you. That, "Oh, that's awesome! Jesus can take it all. He can take it away." But then you get practical, right? And you're like, "But that's great, but how do I get a Jesus that's bigger than my worries? How do I actually get to the point where I can drop my worries in the Jesus box and leave it?" I think that the Apostle Paul, he gets super practical. Before we get to what I want to talk about from the Apostle Paul, I need to explain to you some of the setting around what the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi in. See, Paul is in a Roman prison at the time that he writes this letter. He's in jail. And not like, you know, your white-collar kind of facilities that we have now with golf courses and all of that. Like, he was under house arrest, but it was a different day and age back then. Okay. There wasn't TV, there wasn't cable television, there wasn't internet or anything like that. And it was a different kind of time. He's going through a rough time. In fact, he's not that far away from actually going to a chopping block, if you know what I mean. And then he's writing to these Philippian Christians, and the Philippian Christians are under severe persecution. The people around them are like, "How can we make their lives miserable?" We like to talk about how we're persecuted because a bakery gets sued because they didn't make a cake for a certain group of people, or how we're persecuted because, you know, "Oh, woe is me, they want to take away a tax benefit," or whatever that kind of stuff may be. These Christians in Philippi, they were persecuted. "Oh, you're a Christian. I don't want you working here anymore. Oh, you're a Christian. Well, let me just go and send a messenger over to the authorities here. We're going to try to make your life miserable. Oh, you're a Christian. Well, we're going to run you out of town if you're lucky. We'd really like to take you outside of town and throw rocks at you to kill you." That's persecution, folks. And so Paul writes this letter to the Philippian church, and he gives this super practical advice. You ready? "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." Rejoice. Rejoice. That's your practical advice, Paul. You're going through what? We're going through what? And you're telling me to rejoice? That is not what I'm naturally inclined to do when I get bad news. That's not what I am naturally inclined to do when the stinky stuff hits the fan, if you know what I'm talking about. "Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon." The Lord is coming soon. Jesus is coming back soon. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." There it is again. "Don't worry about anything." And we all said, "Yeah, right." But I want you to look at this word, "instead." See, this is where I think that Paul gets practical. Right? It's great. He gives us the what we need to do. Don't worry. But then he gives us the steps to get there. He says, "Instead, pray about everything." Pray about everything. Now, that doesn't mean that you get down on your knees, you pray about it, and then you start immediately trying to figure out how you can work out the situation, all right? But pray about everything. What does it look like to pray about everything? Tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. So what this means is we're probably not supposed to pray like, "God, just take the situation away. God, just take it away. I don't want it." That's not what you need, because the situation's here. So what do you need? Do you need wisdom? Do you need favor from those that are on the other side of things? Do you need resources, job opportunity? What do you need? Let's get specific with God. He can handle our specifics. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you're not just general with God and hedging your bets, you know, if I just give it a wide enough kind of thing, then I can fit whatever God's answer is into this and it's all good. And what if we actually said, God, this is what I need. Now, this isn't in my sermon, but I'm going to tell this story anyways. When my mom and her family were little, her and my grandparents, so her parents, they were traveling children's evangelists in the United States. And so they'd be in their little trailer and they'd go church to church to church doing kids outreach ministries in these churches. And some churches were generous and other churches less generous. And you know, so they'd make their living going around doing this. And they had this practice that they would do. They would get together as a family and they would write a shopping list and then they would pray for the shopping list because, you see, they didn't always have the money to pay for groceries. And so they'd write their shopping list down and they'd pray over it as little kids and my grandparents as the adults. And then people would bring them the things on their shopping list that they weren't even sharing. And so there was this one particular time that my aunt said, you know, I'd really like some root beer pop. Do you think that we could add root beer pop to the list? And so they did, and they prayed for it. And a little while later, there was a knock on the door, and this lady came up with a few bags of groceries and said, you know, I bought too much. Can you guys use some groceries? And my grandparents were like, yes, yes, that's amazing. Thank you so much. And she's like, and you know, I was walking down the aisle, and there was this sale, and I don't know why I got it, but I picked up some root beer pop. Like, can you guys use that? Are you all right if I give that to you? And they're just like, yes, please, I'll take the root beer. Thank you, Lord. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Let's get specific with him. But that's not where Paul ends. Instead, he also says, and thank him for all that he has done. This is so interesting. The Christians in Philippi, they're still going through stuff. They're bringing to God what they need. And then Paul's like, but tell God thanks for everything that he's done. And this is an amazing thing, in fact. It's actually a psychological marvel to be able to do this, because what you're doing in both of these is you're taking your focus off of what you need to do and what you've hopefully already done, because I do believe that, you know, you don't get down on your knees and pray about, you know, hey, God, I really want money, so I'm not going to go to work today and I'm going to pray about the money. That's dumb. Hey, don't do that. But once we've done what we can do and we're worrying about the things that we can't, we put the focus on God and we focus on what God has already done in the past, because maybe you haven't gone through this situation before, but you went through another situation and you remember how impossible that one seemed at the time. And then you saw the way that God worked it out. And so you begin to give thanks for that, and all of a sudden you're like, my God is big. My Jesus is big. I was so worried. I was beaten into the ground. I was hopeless. And I prayed to Jesus, and look how he came through. My Jesus is big. But you might still be wondering, like, how does this help? Like, what's this actually going to do, right? Paul tells us this too. Paul, I mean, sometimes this stuff is hard to understand, and other times he just lays it all out there, and you're like, great job, Paul. Thank you. He says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You are going to experience a peace beyond your own personal experience of peacefulness that has happened at your calmest moments. But instead, what it's going to do is it's going to be at a time when you shouldn't be able to find any peace. Right, so imagine yourself in the woods, laying on a hammock, reading a book. The light is just right. There's no sun in your eyes. The heat is just right. You know, you're not sweating buckets, but you're nice and comfortable. And there's a breeze, not a Pincher Creek breeze, a breeze, like a real one, just soft, kind, gentle. And it's going through the woods as you read this wonderful book, and you just think of that peacefulness, and then consider the situation you're going through right now, and imagine what would happen is if in the midst of all that turmoil and chaos, God could lay upon you a peace that goes beyond that peace that you actually experienced on that hammock in the woods with a nice breeze, not an evil breeze. Right? That's what he can do. A peace that goes beyond your experience. And as you live in Christ Jesus, as you press into him, as you say, I want to do what you want me to do. I want you to be my all. I want you to take my worries, God. He will guard your heart and mind from being torn apart by your situation. He will guard you from the stress of your situation. And I believe that he will guard your faith from faltering. Why? Because you've put your trust in a Jesus who has grown exponentially. And you've begun to see that, in fact, we serve a God that is bigger than any situation. He's bigger than the cancer. He's bigger than the bills. He's bigger than the job. He's bigger than the family. He's bigger than your worst experience that you've ever gone through and the worst experience that you'll ever go through. He is bigger. When your worries are looming large, focus on the fact that Jesus is bigger than your worries. Maybe you're worried about taking those alpha invite cards and beginning to hand them out to people. Are these your worries? Or is it your Jesus? Because I believe that you can have peace as you go to share your story of how Jesus got you through your circumstances, or as you go to share with people how you think that this is a great thing, or how you think that Jesus could help them, or whatever it may be, as you go to foster relationships so that you even know people that you could invite for Alpha, right? Like, some of us are very insulated. It's fine. I've been there too. I am there. You know, we need that courage. We need that peace. We need to not worry about how this may turn out. And we just need to know that our Jesus is bigger. So I told you a little bit, just a little bit, and I hope that in the years to come that we'll be able to share more publicly about what has been going on in our lives. But I've been pretty torn up. And there came a point in time, I'd been praying for wisdom on what to do and direction, and we got some direction, and we began to hand some of the situation off to the right people. And then we just began to pray, God, like, you're in control. This is what we need you to be doing with these people and with this situation. And an amazing thing happened. Everything is still going on. In fact, it's gotten worse. And we have absolute peace about it. Now, that's not to say that it's all that fun when someone walks up and they're like, hey there, so let's talk about everything that's going on. No, I don't want to. I really don't. But, you know, I do trust that God has this in his hands, that it's all being dealt with, that it's all good. And then no matter what happens, even if it turns out the way that I don't want it to, that God is going to provide for us because we serve a God that is bigger. We serve a God that is bigger. And so for myself, I have chosen to worry not. And you can talk to my wife. I am a worrier. Okay, I look at every possible outcome and I try to figure out what I need to do to get to the one I like, not the one I don't like. But in this situation, I've had to come to a place of saying, worry not, because your God has you. So here today, you may be wondering what it is that you need to do to receive this Jesus in your life who can help you to not worry. Because I know that in this world, there's so much brokenness, there's so much pain, right? We all go through it. We're in a messed up world, and this world is messed up because of a thing called sin. It's when the people that God created walk outside of his design. And we try to get out of our brokenness through a lot of unhealthy means, but an amazing thing has happened, and that is that God saw us in our brokenness. He saw you in your brokenness, and he said, I love you. You know, when God created the world, he created the world, and he saw you. He looked ahead, and he saw all of us. And he said, I'm going to create this world, no matter what might happen, because you're worth it. You're worth it. And man, did we mess this place up. But God came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, was born as this little child, so vulnerable, in some backwater town to some nobody parents. And Jesus being fully God and fully man, was born without sin and lived a perfect life. And yet, as someone that lived a perfect life, we looked at him and went, you know what? We're going to throw a bunch of false accusations at this guy. We're going to torture him and we're going to murder him. And in that moment, Jesus took upon himself all of our sinful actions, all of our sinful desires, all of our sinful unaction. And he said, I forgive you if you'll just follow me. You could say that Jesus became the doorway out of brokenness. And he says, listen, just pull a U-turn from where you were at before and begin to walk the way that I want you to walk. And I'm going to help you get there. Just place your trust in me. Walk through the door. Exit the brokenness. Come into my love. And let me usher you into a place of wholeness. Let me pull you away from separation with the God who created you and pull you into an intimate relationship with your Father. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus who, as he changes us and makes us new and revitalizes us from the brokenness within, that then says, I still have people out there that I love and I care about, and I want you to go and talk to them too. And that's the reason why we spend this little bit of time talking to you. It's because we want to give you the opportunity to worry not, to enter the rest of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And today, if you're ready to put your trust in this Jesus, if you've thought it through and you say, yes, this guy, this God, I want to dedicate my life to him, then in a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of commitment and thanksgiving, just something where you're going to say, I'm in this. Before we do that, we're going to close in a quick word of prayer here just as a congregation. I want you to consider right now just what your this step that you're going to take. And so we're going to pray that prayer in just a moment, but let's pray as a congregation today. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that I don't need to worry, that I can worry not, because you're bigger. Lord Jesus, will you remind me to pray, to lift things up, to trust, and will you give me grace when those well-meaning people come and tell me, basically, just get over it. Lord, you are greater. You are greater. All around this room, with nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, we're gonna pray a prayer today, giving our lives to Jesus. So I encourage you to pray along with me if you desire to do that. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I haven't been living right. But thank you for dying on that cross and rising again. I accept your forgiveness. I accept you and your life. Be my master. Be my savior. Change me, strengthen me, and make me new. From this time forward, I commit to serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer with us today, if you're online, you can send us a message on Messenger, and we want to make sure that you get a Bible and some information on what comes next in this journey of faith. If you're here in this room and you did that, you can go ahead and fill out that blue card that says, I have decided. It's in the seat back in front of you, and lay that down on the seat as you leave, and we'll collect those later and follow up with you. There's also Bibles and some information about faith on the back table there. And so I hope that you will just take one of those if you don't have a Bible or you need a Bible.